Welcome to the Inside the Huddle podcast, where we talk about sports inside and outside the Warrior Nation.
Welcome back to another edition of Inside the Huddle podcast. I'm Carly, and in the studio we have Justin and Alex. Alex plays on the boys soccer team for Warren Central. I heard that you guys have a game tonight. How do you feel about that?
I feel pretty good. We're pretty confident in what we can do, and we're just ready to go out there and compete.
How long have you guys been conditioning and practicing coming up into this game?
Well, we started conditioning back in June. Well, just running. And then we started getting more technical in July. And we've just been working for about 2 months and a half now.
Coming into the first game of the season, so how do you guys feel?
We know what we can do. We just have to do it on the pitch.
What is the team's expectation coming into this season?
Well, we've had pretty bad seasons, especially since I've been here. So we definitely have a better team than we've had for the past 3 years. So we definitely have the potential to do good things this season.
So you mentioned the last couple of seasons haven't been that good. What are some big changes that has occurred from the last couple of seasons?
Well, we have a new coach, which is a big change. And the way he coaches compared to the way our old coach used to coach is just completely different. He's more all around, and we just used to work on a lot of defense, which...
That can only get you so far.
That can only get you so far, obviously. And it didn't get us far at all.
Now, what teams or team are you guys looking forward to playing this season?
Well, tonight we play NC. We're always looking forward to them. Center Grove, BD, all those teams, conference teams. We wanna play every year.
On game day, what do you guys do? You have anything special you do to prepare yourself, or is there a team thing that you guys do?
Well, after school, we just go eat as a team. Just hop in the car, blast the music, focus, dial in. Just come together.
What kind of bond do you and your teammates have off the field?
We try to hang out a lot outside of the pitch, but I say we have a pretty good bond, strong bond that is really going to help us this year.
What is the energy surrounding the team?
Well, we're all really confident at the moment, and we just want to compete at this point.
Do you feel that anyone in particular has stepped up to be the leader on the team, or the leaders, multiple people?
Well, honestly, me and Kenny, we've stepped up these past couple of years. Me stepping up from the defense to play striker to try to get us on the board during games, I feel like that's a big step, and we just gotta execute.
Now, what role do the coaches play in your guys' ability of playing the game?
A big role. Coach Robbie, he's came and he's just helped us be able to transition from defense to offense, which we've never been able to do. We've never had an offense since I've been in high school. So definitely coaching staff has a big part in this year.
So you mentioned you guys got a different coach, a different head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate more on how that has affected the team?
Well,
he just comes with a different play style.
Different play style. He's won a state championship at Fishers, so he definitely knows what he's doing, and he knows what we need to work on to get to a high level.
Now, how do you personally bond with the new coach?
Well, we had him last year as our assistant coach with Magdalenos, and he's just been around. I don't know. He's just really around a lot, and he speaks to us, and that plays a big role.
How does the effort you put into practice affect you on game day?
Well, I'm a strong believer in how you practice is how you play, so we try to go 110% every time at practice, and when we don't, we just stop and we restart. We don't like any bumps on the road.
So this is your senior season. Are you looking forward to playing soccer in college?
Yeah, I am. I haven't received an offer or nothing yet, but I have been talking to some colleges. I'm just ready to compete this year and show them what I can do.
Out of all the teams in the MIC, where do you think you guys line up at?
Well, coming into this year from last year, we're not very far up there at all. We're actually at the bottom, but our goal this year is to finish top three in the MIC, if not take it all.
Now, when it comes to sectional play, how far do you guys think you'll go?
Championship, take that home.
Now, I know you play defense. What are some of the different drills and aspects you guys have to look at playing different playing different roles on the field in different positions?
Well, being on the field on different positions, you see things different. So you obviously have to have your own vision in your position. So defense, you obviously, from the back line, you see the whole field. So you know what everybody's doing. And you can talk to everybody from there. That's where the communication comes from, is the back line. And midfield, there's the people that work the ball up, create offense. And strikers, they finish.
Do you personally, just by yourself, what do you do to get yourself, like, keep yourself in shape in the off season, or, you know, just stay focused?
I do a lot of running on my own, which helps me a lot. Just helps me a lot to stay in shape and just be able to compete for 80 minutes at a time.
Now, how long have you played soccer?
Since I was three. Yep, since I was three.
What are the main aspects of the game to you?
Well, you have to have a first touch. You have to have a feel for the ball at your feet. You have to be able to give a good straight pass. Honestly, without those two, you can't really get far.
Now, you playing soccer since you were three. How does soccer impact you on a daily basis in your personal life?
Well, it's something that's always on my mind, and it's just something I have a passion for, so it's just an everyday thing to me.
Has it helped you through anything personal?
Oh, yeah. That's the way of me expressing myself every day.
So before your guys' practices, when you're waiting for your team to get ready or whatever, is there anything you guys, like, personally do?
Yeah, we always go outside and kick the ball around, just get warm before practice. That's really all we do. We just touch the ball, play soccer, tennis, just a lot of fun games.
You've been playing since such a young age. Is there anything that motivates you to keep playing soccer, or is just you just got that drive to play the game?
Well, I say it's a mix of both. I definitely have the drive to play the game every day. It's just something I love to do. I've been playing it since I was little, so that's all I really know. And, yeah, it's just something I've been going at it for so long, and I don't want to stop doing it.
Is there any family member that in particular really supports you or just really motivates you to just go out there and get it?
Yeah, actually, my dad was my first coach at 3 years old, so he definitely plays a big role there.
What is the hardest part, knowing that this could be your last year playing soccer, potentially, and, this is your last high school season? How does that feel?
Well, I'm really eager to get some wins and just make it the best year I've had. Just make the best out of the little time I have, and hopefully I can get some exposure from it.
Do you think you and some of your teammates will have the bond that you guys have when you guys graduate?
Yeah, definitely. I'm pretty confident that I will see most of my teammates years from now.
Now, you loving and having a passion for soccer, do you play, like, on a travel team outside of school?
Yeah, I play for Millennium. We practice at North Central, and yeah, we made it to State Cup against actually my teammate Alan Sanchez this past summer.
How was that when you guys faced each other?
It was really intense. Alan definitely came through for his team, and they got the dub over us, and yeah.
But I'm sure it was just a cool experience facing against your teammate. You guys are both on what sounds like some pretty top-tier teams, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, before games, some teams listen to songs and have sayings and, like, have slogans, but do you guys have any of that?
Well, pregame, right before the game, either we break it, the way we break it down, or, yeah, we just break it down regularly, or we have this chant, this warrior chant that we have that's old. We used to do it in middle school, and yeah, we've carried it on to tournament time for high school.
That was great interviewing you. Thank you for coming in today. I wish you best luck, and I hope you guys make it far this year. This is another edition for Inside the Huddle on 91.1 WEDM.
Deuces.
I lay out. Welcome to edition of our podcast, Inside the Huddle. I am Justin, and I am here with Isaiah.
Yo, yo, yo.
We're going to be talking about the NFL offseason. So we're going to start off here with
Isaiah's favorite team. So I'm just going to let him, since it's his favorite team, I'm just going to let him bring us right in.
Dude, it's been a struggle. Like, we don't, like, Zeke once paid, Dak once paid. It's a struggle. I really think if we get rid of Garrett, we don't pay, if Zeke wants, we just pay Zeke the money. We don't give him a bunch of money because running backs aren't going to last long, but we don't pay Dak 30 mil. He's right, a 26 right, point mil guy.
So how much money is he asking for? Because I think, didn't he turn down like 30 mil or something?
Who,
like
Dak?
That?
Yeah. Dak? Yeah, he turned down 30 mil and asked for 40 mil. I don't know why.
That's definitely overpriced. I get the fact that he hasn't missed a game his entire career.
Neither has Dak. That's why he thinks he should get 40 mil. Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about Dak. Yeah. But why does it say, yeah, I don't think he's worth 40 mil right now.
When you get to an NFC championship game, maybe we can talk 35 mil. But until you get me to an NFC championship game, you're not getting $30 million.
Yeah. The problem is he was also a fourth-round draft pick. So,
but for a fourth-round draft pick in his first year in 2016, he got us 13-3. So, I mean, he has something back there, but he didn't get us to the NFC title game. So.
Right, but if he was like a first-round pick, then
he already had $30 million.
The Cowboys would, I think what they were saying on ESPN, they would have like one more year under his like contract, so they wouldn't have to worry about the contract negotiations until like next week or something.
Yeah, I think the two biggest team like stories right now, it's the Raiders with their Antonio Brown drama, and I think the Zeke thing, because you heard about Jerry Jones. They asked about Zeke, and he was like, "Zeke who?"
Yeah, man. I think
that's so messed up, because like every time the Cowboys have won a Super Bowl, they've had a running back in the backfield.
Yeah, they definitely need Zeke. They definitely need Zeke.
They need Zeke to win.
Zeke was the reason. Dak Prescott is good and all, but Zeke is the reason that they're
winning
to the next level. Like, Dak can win them games.
That's why they're right there. Like, they're not at Super Bowl contention, but they're under that line.
Right.
When they have Zeke, if they don't have Zeke, they're not even on that. We're almost Super Bowl contenders. Line.
Right, and they still have to pay
Amari Cooper
too. Their
but
best
here's
receiver.
The thing: they can pay all of them if they ask for the right amount.
Right,
but Dak wants more, which that's the one reason I'm like, dude, just go get a better quarterback
than
Dak.
I think Dak just needs to accept the fact as he needs to accept how much money it is, because. Yeah. If they pay him too much, then they won't be able to build a team around him.
I don't think he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I mean, Taz and Colin said he could be. Dude, I realize it's like his third year in the league, dude. But like, we're the Cowboys. We win now. Right. We don't wait. We're not. It's just like the Lakers and Knicks. They don't wait.
Right.
We saw the Lakers try to build a young team. That didn't work. The Cowboys aren't going to wait for these guys. Right. They're going to want to win now.
Right. And you gotta pay people. You got to pay for Zeke and Dak. You got to pay for all those assets. Dak can't win it by himself.
It's a problem when the Houston Texans are doing better than the Dallas Cowboys. It's a problem.
I'd rather build my team around Zeke than Dak.
I would, yeah.
Because you can find another Dak.
I mean, or would you rather build it around Amari?
I'd rather build it around Zeke. Because Zeke, you can just give the ball. With a wide receiver,
with no offensive line? The Cowboys, now granted, the Cowboys do have an offensive line. Same thing, if they didn't have an offensive line, then you got to rethink things. I would go Amari.
Well, if you would build around Amari, then you'd have to worry about the quarterback that's throwing him the ball. And if you have a horrible line, Amari wouldn't be getting the ball at all.
Yeah.
So you got to think about that too.
We'll see. It's a rough year. I don't know. What's your favorite team?
I don't really have a favorite team. I'm more of just like fans of teams.
You're the bandwagon jumper?
No, I'm not a bandwagoner. But the Packers is one of them.
Because
my dad.
Packers are on the struggle bus, so.
Yeah, the Packers. I've picked them to go to the Super Bowl like
three.
two, 3 years in a row, and it they've failed me every
time. When they got Jimmy Graham last year, everyone was like, well, the Packers are just deadly this year. Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham, no one's beating him. Didn't do nothing last year. It was absolutely
And then
boring.
Another team that I'm almost ashamed of being a fan of.
Oh, no.
Steelers, man.
Dude, you guys are just the drama.
The Steelers.
Oh, my God.
I picked them to go to the Super Bowl every year that I can remember.
Don't count on the Steelers to do that.
Roethlisberger, Brown, Le'Veon Bell. Are you serious?
Don't count me on the. I knew the Steelers weren't going to the Super Bowl.
Are you serious? You're not recording? What? Yes, we are. This is why I started without her. Anyways.
Dude, don't count. I don't count on the Steelers, bro. Dude, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, Juju's okay.
Are you guys actually recording?
You shut up. Why are you in here? Why are you in here?
You can't hear me.
With Juju and James, they could still compete. They could still go to an AFC championship. If they can play better, which, because think about it. James Conner, you're not going to hear nothing about. Juju's a quiet guy. Dude, they could still go to the AFC championship game or contend.
Yeah, they'll still be good, but
I hate that the people, I hate, because people are saying the Steelers are going to be like in like top five pick in the draft. Dude, if anything, they're going to still make the playoffs with that big three. They still have a big three.
I am just sad that you have top three wide receiver and top three running back, and you did basically nothing.
Who, us?
The Steelers.
Oh, I thought you were talking about us. Zeke's the second one behind Todd Gurley, without a doubt.
Yeah, man. And then the Rams in the Super Bowl.
That Super Bowl sucked to watch.
I'm not even going to get started with that.
That Super Bowl is so bad. This was one of the best free agencies, though. Like, yeah, by far. And then
due to all the drama.
It's just, for me, I'm more of an NBA guy. Sorry. But the thing is, I think this NFL season, I just haven't been hyped about. For how much free agency moves there were, I'm not hyped at all. I just feel like the Patriots are going to come in and sweep everyone's dreams away like they did this year.
Hey, they don't have Gronk anymore. That's the only
reason. They don't.
That's the only reason they won last year was because they just...
Oh, yeah, they did.
They just threw it to Gronk 70 times.
Yeah, and then score.
They throw it to Edelman for like three straight times and no one could stop them. And then once they get in the red zone, they just dish it to Gronk.
So who you got going to the Super Bowl this year? You got the Chiefs, I think the Rams could bounce back, but I got heat on that for saying that last podcast.
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Off the top, I would say probably Chiefs. And either like Rams or Cowboys.
No, don't say that. Don't say that about my Cowboys. They're not doing nothing. I wish they were going to the Super Bowl.
I would say the Saints.
We're gonna lose to the Chicago Bears in the first round. That's what we're gonna have. That's what's gonna happen. We let Zeke sit out this whole year. I kind of want to tank, because this is like the actual real deal. If Garrett doesn't get us to an NFC championship game or a Super Bowl, he's out the door.
He should have been gone a long time ago.
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I'm saying.
Jason Garrett should have been gone a long time ago.
He's going to go to the Arizona Cardinals. Watch what I tell you after this season.
Do you know if the Saints lost anybody?
Saints didn't lose any. They paid Michael Thomas $100 million. And then I think Alvin Kamara is getting paid next season.
Okay.
I think it's either going to be the Rams, the Saints, or the Eagles.
My prediction is going to be the Chiefs and the Saints.
Chiefs, Saints?
Way too early Super Bowl prediction, because I loved the Saints last year.
I got two predictions. I got two. I like the Chiefs, Saints. I think it's the 10-year anniversary of Colts versus Saints in the Super Bowl, bro. And from what I've seen from the Colts last year, if Luck can stay healthy, T.Y. can catch the ball, and they're running, their weird, odd running back core can actually run the football.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a legitimate shot. If they don't got to play the Chiefs, if they don't have to play the Pats, I think they can beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, they have to really get lucky.
Dude, they can't run into the Patriots or they're going to choke. If they run into the Patriots, they will choke and they're going to lose 47 to nothing. That's what's going to happen.
Another.
How are they going to get 47? It's going to happen by a safety.
I'm going to make another prediction. I'm going to say Chargers and Saints.
No way.
Because.
No way.
I picked the Chargers last year. I thought last year was a Chargers year.
No way.
And then they just got.
The Ravens? Question mark. The Ravens? Bro, they beat the Chargers.
No, they didn't.
Oh, no, they didn't. But, dude, I don't care if Lamar Jackson is a running back. That dude's a whole quarterback playing like a goat. I don't care. The Ravens could go to the Super Bowl.
The Ravens are going to be really good. But I'm not going to say that they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Chargers. Wait. Has Melvin Gordon.
Dude, the Chargers are just. They're not going, bro.
Is Melvin Gordon still holding out?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah,
never
he
mind,
requested never, for a trade, too.
Never mind.
That dude's going to the Raiders.
Never mind.
I know he's going to the Raiders.
Bro. The Chargers was another team that I'm ashamed to say that is one of my favorite teams.
Are the Raiders in Vegas now, or are they have that?
They're still in Oakland.
They're still in. Dude, they said they would be gone by 2019. They said that 3 years ago, and they're still playing on a baseball field. Like, come on, bro. How have y'all been in Oakland for that long and don't even have an actual football field? You're playing on a baseball field. Stop it.
Man, what do you think about the Browns?
The Browns, dude, Colin's talking about they're going to the Super Bowl. Get them, dude, they're overhyped. They're not going to gel until next year. They don't want a Super Bowl until next. You have your top guys are inexperienced going into the playoffs, and we expect them to just go in there and win a Super Bowl.
Who is their top guys? Odell,
Jarvis,
Baker.
Landry, Kareem Hunt, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Kareem Hunt, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry. They've got a lot of top guys, but none of them have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Kareem Hunt got cut by the Chiefs before the playoffs. So
right.
I think it's going to be rough. I don't think they do well this year.
They're either going to struggle like the first five games and then find their stride, or they're going to do like really good
the
regular season, and then they're going to get matched up in the playoffs against like, I don't know.
I said their highest could be about 10. Their lowest could be about 8 or 6.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a good regular season, but I think we're going to have to wait until the
Dude, the AFC is playoffs. Just stacked. You've got the Colts, you got the Chiefs, you got the Pats, you got the Chargers if they're going to stay up again. I don't know. It's a stacked AFC. It's also a stacked NFC because you've got the Bears, you've got the Rams, you got the Eagles, you got the Saints. People say the Cowboys. I don't know why they do. I want the Cowboys to get like the first pick in the draft so Garrett can go. I really don't want a good.
So you don't care what happens. You just want Garrett out of here.
I want Garrett gone. And I want, if Dak can throw the football right, I'll be fine with Dak. If he can get us to an NFC, I don't know. I don't know what I want from this team this year. Like, as a Cowboys fan, I'm just like, let's get Zeke paid. But I'm like, I also don't want him paid because that means we tank.
Right.
But I also want him back because we could win. I don't know. It's going to be rough.
All right, man. Good discussion. Stay tuned for our next edition of the Inside the Huddle podcast.
91.1 WEDM. Welcome to this episode of Inside the Huddle podcast. Colin Echols sitting down once again. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Tazai Relford.
What's up, Colin?
How you doing, man?
Good, man. Just ready to talk about some sports.
Talk about some sports. In specific, the NBA offseason. Been a kind of a crazy offseason.
Very interesting offseason.
With a lot of new draft picks coming in, a lot of trades being made, and
free agents,
new deals being signed, extensions. We're going to cover all of that and potentially a little bit more predictions on this season, how it's going to go. So let's start off with the new rookie class, shall we? Start off with the new rookie class. First off, number one overall pick. To no surprise, Mr. Zion Williamson to the New Orleans Pelicans. How you feel about that?
We all figured he was going to go there. No, number one overall, so everyone just figured that he was going to go there. So I think that spot fits him. But you know who got drafted late that I wanted to go see higher?
Who?
Cam Reddish.
Factual. Oh, I saw the other day, it was on ESPN. It was kind of just random, now that you say Cam Reddish. It was on ESPN's Instagram, and it was like who the rookies thought was going to have the best career or whatever.
And became
the pool. Cam Reddish was at the top. 19% had him. And Zion was at the bottom. Who was going to have the best career? Zion only had like a 6%.
Yeah, man. Zion's all hype. If he's not dunking, he's not scoring.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't have a mid-range at all. And he doesn't have a three. So
he's very one-dimensional.
That's true. Moving forward, the number two pick, Mr. Is it Ja Morant?
Ja Morant was number three.
So RJ went number two?
Yeah.
RJ went number two.
Because Ja Morant in Memphis is a great fit.
Yeah, that's got to be, I think that's one of the better draft picks. Like, player to team-wise this year, I think that was one of the better draft picks.
And you know who's really, and Cam Reddish really is a steal because he's about to go and play in Atlanta with Trae Young and a bunch of young guys. So Atlanta's going to be very young this year, but they're going to be exciting to watch, though. They're
yeah.
Gonna be like,
I think Atlanta,
Chicago.
Atlanta might have a standout year this year for Atlanta. I mean, you know, normally they're not a team that gets talked about a lot, but you know, now with some of the new talent that's coming in, you know, you had Trae. They got talked about last year because Trae Young and Vince Carter in Atlanta and all that. But I think they're going to be one of the more talked about teams this year besides, you know, the Lakers and the Warriors and the Raptors and teams like that.
Excel a little bit in the playoffs this year.
For sure. Moving forward from the draft picks, some offseason stuff, some big moves being made, free agents, trades, contract extensions. Probably one of the biggest pickups this year by any team. The Nets picking up Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in the offseason, both free agents. I don't know how I necessarily feel about that. I know originally it was predicted they were going to both go to the Knicks. Is there a new team, a new King team in New York now for basketball? Because we all know the Knicks were the, I mean, even though there's not really a solid, there hadn't been a solid team in New York for a while, but the Knicks were the king team of New York out of the two.
You know what's crazy? Well, actually, Brooklyn, they just made it to the playoffs, so maybe they kind of ruled it this year. But
yeah,
I don't see them getting it done just because there's not many two-star duos anymore.
Right, yeah, for sure.
And they want DeAndre Jordan as a third, but for defense, yeah, he's perfect. But offensive scoring-wise, he's not the go-to, man.
It's right.
And KD's even out for a season, so really.
Really, you just picked up Kyrie Irving for this season.
And you're really just sitting and banking it off of KD's rehab. Will he rehab the right way? Will he rehab the wrong way?
That's true.
So you're really banking it like just off of his rehab.
And even then, though, I think one of the biggest mistakes that they made, too, was they got rid of D'Lo. D'Lo was – he got most improved player of the year, didn't he?
I'm not sure about that.
But I know he was at least in the running for it. We can state that as facts. He was at least in the running for it. But – I think that was one of the biggest mistakes that they could have made was getting rid of him. And he was a...
I don't get why Golden State picked him up.
Because you lost KD and you lost Boogie. I mean, Boogie didn't much for you.
Yeah, I don't understand. What is D'Angelo Russell going to do? You have the best guard. You have two of the best guards ever, in the league.
If you're going to run a three-man guard spread, I mean...
Mm-mm.
It's a bad situation.
The West is two stacks for three guards.
Yeah.
They're too stacked.
Speaking of the West, talk about both of our favorite team.
Who's running the West Coast? Yeah.
The LA Lakers. Who's going to run the West Coast this year?
Los Angeles, for sure.
I think it really could be LA. But now LeBron, AD, Boogie was there.
Now we're trying to get Dwight Howard again. Oh my God.
But, that may not be such a bad thing, though.
But it is going to be like the rivalries back with the Clippers and the Lakers. I like that rivalry.
For sure. Yeah, because the Clippers just picked up PG and Kawhi. That's a big, big pickup from the offseason.
And
they
were already a defensive team. So now,
you
with Pat
Bev, player of the year, right.
And you have Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, that defense, Montrezl Harrell. You know what I mean? You just got defense. Defense, defense, defense. And
the good thing about Kawhi, too, is Kawhi goes both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
He's one of the best players, I
Very
think, in the
unselfish.
League that can go both sides of the ball, defense and offense, as well as on offense, not only score, but create plays for other people. He's one of the better people in the league that can kind of play all positions.
And he's very unselfish.
Very true. But I don't know about Kawhi. You know, on the floor, obviously, he's unselfish when he gets to a team. But I think off the floor, I kind of feel like, personally, he's playing more for the money. You just won with a team that was stacked up in Toronto. Toronto was stacked, like an underrated type of stack. Like, they're not stacked like the Warriors stacked, but
you gotta also think he didn't want to go to Toronto. He was traded to Toronto. He didn't want.
Okay,
to go to
Toronto.
He got traded to Toronto, and in that situation, he was like, "Well, that's basketball. So I'm gonna be dedicated to this team. They want me. I'm gonna play here." But he got his choice. He finally got a say so on where he wanted to go. All his career, he hasn't had a say so. You know, he's always been traded. So now that he has a say so, the way he up and left, because he already knew the West was gonna become even more dominant. And I like Kawhi. He's taking on the challenge. Like, he can run. He runs the East. Now let's see if I can go run the West.
Right. Yeah, I got that.
He's challenging himself.
And, I mean, to move to the Clippers, too, I think that's one of the better decisions that he could have made. Because now you're teaming up with people like Pat Bev. You got Defensive Player of the Year, PG, on your team now.
Yeah, he's teaming up. The way Kawhi plays basketball, he's teaming up. He plays old school basketball. None of the flashiness. True. He's playing as a team, and I guess he learned that in San Antonio because this is just team.
Right.
Everybody has a role, and everybody's going to play their role.
I got you. Yeah. And another big move this offseason, Russell Westbrook to the Rockets.
Nothing's happening out of that.
Right, yeah. That's not really
they're both
a big thing because
stat chasers.
Chris Paul is not with the Rockets anymore.
Let's just say this. Chris Paul probably won't even see the playoffs.
True. Where did he go to?
Oklahoma City.
Oh, geez.
He's not seeing the playoffs till another.
Yeah,
he might actually be done. Like, we might have to throw the books down
on Chris Paul, which is kind of sad, honestly.
Because
Chris Paul is
so
one of the better guards for sure in the league. Definitely one of the better veterans in the league. But I think that was just a bad move in general.
Yeah.
Moving Westbrook to the Rockets. It's like you said, him and Harden are both stat chasers. They're not really worried. I mean, obviously they both want the chip, but
it's not happening.
It's not going to happen with those two. But at the same time, you do have two out of the big three back together.
And you know what? You really don't. Because now that they separated, they both became more individuals.
I see what you're saying.
Because back then, Harden was a role player. KD was, you know, everybody had their role. Yeah, everybody had a certain role.
I think KD is really the only one that stayed a role player.
Who stayed, KD stood out more, like, because, he's a scorer. We're going to keep giving it to him. Harden's a scorer. But now that everybody reached their max potential and then separated, it's not going to be the same.
The big problems when they did all separate was that
chemistry drops.
Yeah, that chemistry, you know, going away and coming back. I mean, obviously, it's like you're back with your old team, but at the same time,
it's not
that
the same.
Chemistry is not going to be the same anymore.
It's not the same.
Y'all so used to butting heads with each other, playing against each other, all that.
You picked up so much, you don't know how much he's picked up.
Yeah.
I mean,
you almost got to rebuild a new chemistry.
But you never know. Maybe they come out, know what each other want. Maybe Russ will turn into a true point guard.
True.
Maybe he'll slow down on the scoring. All right, well, they need me passing in defense. I can do that.
It could work out.
I could take over if I need to take over.
It's really a 50-50 shot, but no matter what happens, it's going to slide one. It's not going to be in the middle. It's going to either, you know, be a really positive thing for them, or they're just going to go out the deep end.
Because either one's going to have to slow down on something. The amounts that Harden shoots, he's going to have to slow down on that.
True.
Westbrook's going to have to slow down on that, start giving up the ball more. They're both just going to have to give up the ball more. And if they're willing to do that, then they might have some potential. Honestly, if Harden goes back to just spot-up shooter, because he can take over a ball game when he needs to take over a ball game, everybody be just fine.
Right. And then moving away, the last little thing. What are the predictions for this year? Now, last year, Jameson did point this out to me. At the beginning of the year, I called the Raptors winning the whole thing. I called the Raptors beating the Bucks in the East Finals, making it and beating Golden State. I called that. I got that right. So I'm trying to go 2 for 2. And I'm putting the Lakers in the finals this year.
Of course.
As a champion. Not only because they're my favorite team, but the way everything's played out this year and the people they've gotten and the people they've gotten rid of, I think that is going to be the team to beat this year.
Of course. Sure. But everybody wants the Lakers hit.
True.
But who might knock them off the throne could be the Clippers.
That is true.
It could be the Clippers.
I think the finals matchup is going to be the Lakers-Bucks in the finals. I think that's a very, very possible thing.
Hey, or the Sixers might even pull something together. You never know, because trades do happen during this season.
True, very true.
You just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know.
One of the big things, too, is there's a lot of people in the East that's hurt right now.
Yeah.
Hurting right now. KD's obviously hurting. There's a couple other people. But, you know, when they get well, you know, you never know what they're going to do.
Never know. So, you know, KD can go for 40 the game before he got hurt, he was 7 for 7.
Yeah.
So you know he was coming.
Yeah.
He was coming to play.
So, I mean, it could be whatever, but I still think Lakers-Bucks is going to be the final matchup.
For sure, Lakers.
For sure, Lakers. All right. That's going to wrap up our little thing. You got anything else you want to throw in?
Nope.
All right. So that's going to do it for us. NBA offseason, a little bit of information for you guys. Make sure you guys do stay tuned in, because we do have a couple more segments coming up here. In a couple of minutes, you're listening to Inside the Huddle Podcast on 91.1 WEDM.